than 24 hours now. Coming up, we're going to take you to the damaged substation and tell you when the lights will be back on.
In the last 30 minutes, President Biden left RDU International aboard Air Force One after his seventh visit to North Carolina since taking office. The president headed out as we're expecting another change in our weather. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. We are expecting to see some rain tonight and tomorrow. Behind this system, then, another Arctic blast is on the way.
Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to tell us when this rain is going to get here, Mike.
It'll be after midnight and toward daybreak tomorrow. We've already seen the clouds increase upon the area. In fact, when you saw Air Force One fly out of RDU, there was cloud cover out there, and you can see it on the satellite view. Now, it's coming in two parts. We see some light rain tonight, maybe up towards southern Virginia. There could be a few ice pellets, maybe a few flurries, but of no significance. And then behind this front, there's the Arctic air that'll be pouring in for the weekend. So this evening at 6 o'clock, we're looking at the clouds. There is no rain in our forecast this evening. So if you're heading out for a bite to eat, no worries about carrying the rain gear. It's really not until about 2 a.m. we start to see some light rain off to the west. There's 3 a.m. It's about a 60% chance for rain. And notice by 5 a.m., there's some purple and pink that shows up across southern Virginia. There could be a brief round of a few spits of flurries coming out of this, maybe a few ice pellets, but the surface temperature should be above freezing. By 6 a.m., it's in our eastern counties, and then by 8 a.m., we should be seeing a little bit of sunshine. Then the Arctic air arrives. This is what we expect for the weekend. 22 the low on Saturday. There could be some locations where our wind chills will be in the upper single digits. 35 in the afternoon, 17 Sunday morning, 41 on Sunday. I'll have a closer look at what the cold will look like across the eastern part of the country coming up in the next 15 minutes, Gerald.
Okay, Mike, we'll see you then. Thank you.
Right now, more than 8,000 people in Durham still do not have power, and new at 6, it won't be on for several more hours. The lights have already been off in parts of the Bull City for more than 24 hours. Today, we started asking several questions, such as why Duke Energy was doing maintenance on that subdivision, how often the outages happen in that area, and when are the lights going to come back on? WRAL's Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur spent today speaking with people this is impacting and the leaders about the outage. She's live now in Durham. Keely?
Deborah, I know it looks very dark right now, but for our viewers, for you, it's much darker here in person. You can see there's people on the balcony here at Rochelle Manor. They're actually being lit by one of our WRAL TV lights. The lights have been off for these residents since Wednesday afternoon. That's more than 24 hours. Now, Duke Energy keeps telling residents that it'll be on in a few more hours, then it's a few more hours, then it's a few more hours. At last check, just a few minutes ago, they are telling me that power won't be fully restored to East Durham until midnight.
Gotta survive.
Residents with only an outdoor grill to heat their food.
Try to do best of both worlds and cook and stay warm at the same time, brother.
Some running the heat continuously, huddled in their cars.
My daughter in the back and my grandson Mason in the back.
How long have they been living like this?
Yesterday, since 1.
Residents in East Durham have experienced these outages before. Aside from this latest one, several Durham schools were disrupted on January 10th due to an outage. WRAL covered outages in the area last October and August. Residents in Durham Mayor Leo Williams sense this area is plagued with more outages than other parts of the city.
It's always seeming to be in these communities that are... the more downtrodden neighborhoods, you know, the more adverse neighborhoods.
Five on Your Side requested any data to confirm or disprove this, and Duke Energy is working on getting it. Ironically, Duke crews were making upgrades to the area's substation when they damaged it, triggering the outages. Duke Energy spokesperson Jeff Brooks says plans were already in place to make the area less vulnerable, including strengthening and upgrading poles and lines and implementing self-healing substation technology. Williams says those changes cannot come fast enough.
I don't know what type of hardware enhancements need to be incorporated here. I'm not going to pretend to be a technician, but what I can say is folks should not have to live in these circumstances.
Now, we just let those folks know that the power should be back by midnight. Of course, it could be earlier. We're going to see different neighborhoods power on at different times, starting again at that 6 p.m. hour. So we should start to see some movement. I'm being told that Mayor Leo Williams is meeting with Duke Energy and other leaders within the city of Durham to try to figure out exactly where to put people tonight if they need somewhere to get some warmth. We know that libraries were open earlier into the day, but they are probably going to put it at a local high school tonight as kind of a centralized area. There were 14 people who utilized that last night. And Deborah, we certainly want people to be comfortable, stay in their homes if that's what they want to do, but it's going to get into the 30s tonight. So if people can go seek that warmth.
We want people to stay safe. Keeley Arthur, live in Durham. Thank you, Keeley.
President Biden is returning to Washington after a visit to Raleigh. He spent part of his day talking to people at the Abbott Community Center in Raleigh. Our Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the Community Center tonight with the president's message and what this means for people in North Carolina. Laura.
Well, Gerald, this was a presidential visit, not a campaign stop. But the president's comments made it clear that he is hearing, he's paying attention to voter pessimism about the economy. And that has been one of the main talking points for his would-be Republican rivals.
Affordable, high-speed internet.
President Joe Biden used the occasion to announce additional funding for broadband expansion in North Carolina, especially for rural areas where many households still don't have access to high-speed internet. You can see that on this map. Lighter colors mean less coverage. Biden says he sees broadband like Franklin Delano Roosevelt saw electricity, not as a luxury, but a necessity for economic growth. All told, about $1.6 billion is coming from the federal government to build out North Carolina. Network.
By the end of the decade, we're going to finish the job reaching all the remaining homes, schools, libraries, small business, healthcare facilities in North Carolina that don't have access to high-speed internet today. Let me say that again. Universal, high-speed internet in all of North Carolina by the end of this decade.
The president spent much of his speech touting his administration's economic achievements, like forgiving some student loans and lowering the price of insulin and other prescription drugs. He said Bidenomics is to thank for the country's continuing economic growth.
America has, this is a fact, the strongest growth rate of any and the lowest inflation rate of any major economy in the world. In the world. We have a lot more work to do. There's no question our plan of investing in America and the American people is working.
Biden says he realizes inflation continues to be a problem, but says it's slowing down. North Carolina Republican Party Chairman Michael Whatley says it's still too high, and it's cutting into the average family's finances.
Look, gasoline prices, electricity prices, grocery prices, rent prices are all substantially higher today than they were when Joe Biden took office. So, you know, while the rate of growth in that inflation may be coming down, it is still inflation.
We also received reaction from the conservative political action group Americans for Prosperity. In a statement, State Director Tyler Voigt said, unfortunately, Bidenomics has only made life more expensive and directly contributed to the Bidenflation that is eating into the paychecks of hardworking Americans everywhere. Gerald?
Laura Leslie, live in Raleigh. Thank you, Laura.
The president is now headed back to Washington, D.C. after experiencing a North Carolina staple, cookout. The president ordered a bacon cheeseburger, French fries, and a black and white milkshake, which is a vanilla shake with chocolate syrup. He referred to the treat as triple thick. President Biden treated Governor Roy Cooper. The governor had an M&M shake. For full coverage, including the one item President Biden went back to cookout to grab before leaving with his shake, go to WREL.com. You can also see a full recap of the president's day on WREL News at 7.
I wonder if he had to wait in line. I doubt it. More than 100 Durham Public School employees attended a meeting today about pay after a long week of protests. The district says years of service in North Carolina will still be counted in salary steps for classified employees. But many workers say that's not enough. Classified employees include occupational and physical therapists, instructional assistants, building and nutrition services, and transportation employees. They say their private sector and out-of-state experience should also be recognized.
Parents would want, like, the best education that their children could receive. Why wouldn't you want teachers and staff with experience and to be paid for that, to make it competitive, so that you could get the best teachers to be able to service students?
Durham parents were asked to drive their children to school today. The district says 10 schools were short on nutritional staff, but all of those positions were covered.
The batteries powering electric vehicles could also power North Carolina's economy. Coming up, we introduce you to what's set to be known as the new battery belt and explain how North Carolina is at the forefront of it.
Right now, what a scathing Justice Department report tells us about the missed opportunity to save lives during the Uvalde school shooting. Also, can a daily multivitamin prevent memory loss? What the latest research shows ahead on Nightly News.
You've probably heard of the Rust Belt, the Corn Belt, and the Sun Belt. North Carolina even had its own tobacco belt for decades.
Now this state is becoming a leader in the new battery belt. WRO's Matt Tallhelm explains what that is and how it could power North Carolina's economy for the future.
The battery belt is all about creating a new supply chain, starting with lithium. It's a rare soft metal mined from hard rock in the ground. That metal is extracted and used to make the cells that go into a lithium-ion battery. Each battery can contain hundreds or even thousands of those cells. Those battery packs will be installed in electric vehicles, providing the power for clean energy transportation. All of that, from mining to EV manufacturing, is happening right here in North Carolina.
The three shades of gray on the facade of this building in Morrisville mask the uniqueness of the technology that will soon be produced within its walls.
2170 cells, they're used in things like the Tesla vehicles.
Paul Lichty is founder and CEO of Forge Nano. The Colorado-based company selected North Carolina out of 12 sites across the country to build its new lithium-ion battery factory.
We want our employees to work somewhere that they want to be, and North Carolina fit the bill on all fronts.
Forge is part of North Carolina's expanding battery belt. At least four companies, including Toyota, have announced plans to build battery factories here. Vietnamese automaker Vinfast will build EVs in Chatham County with plans to add a battery plant. And two mining companies are trying to tap into lithium deposits in the mountains west of Charlotte.
It's great seeing these things co-locate and knowing that you're just down the road from potential customers or suppliers. It makes the whole thing a lot smoother.
We're becoming the battery belt for the entire country.
Duke Fuqua School of Business professor Ronnie Chatterjee says each new company adds a link in a growing supply chain.
Once you get that cluster, it creates an ever-increasing dynamic where you're seeing more and more investment, more and more jobs, and for the workers, they got lots of options.
Preparing that workforce to fill thousands of jobs that require training with robotics, automation, and artificial intelligence will be a challenge, and the industry may not pay off right away.
Right now is a really good time to think about investing in batteries and electric vehicles, but it's not clear where the market's going to go. Americans might not buy electric vehicles as fast as we think.
But North Carolina has invested big time into building up the battery belt.
In the greatest state of North Carolina.
Each celebration of a new company usually comes with the promise of tax incentives. Toyota could get more than $300 million. Vinfast stands to get more than $1 billion from state and county incentives. Commerce Secretary Michelle Baker Sanders is part of the team that's worked to attract these companies here.
What has it taken to build this here?
It has taken vision, foresight, and investment into North Carolina and the infrastructure to build such an economy, if you will, whether that's education or investment into our site.
With that infrastructure in place, from the highways to the ports, Sanders says more companies will come along and supercharge the battery belt.
North Carolina is well positioned to have continued success in the EV battery and the EV manufacturing sector, in the clean energy sector.
Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
That is so cool. Now, since 2017, the state has announced more than 17,500 jobs in clean energy, with companies promising more than $22 billion worth of new investment. Now, here's something else that we've been getting charged about today. 31 years ago on this date, this wonderful lady next to me made history as the youngest reporter in America at the age of six.
Yes. Oh,
and
my gosh.
Today is Deborah's 31st anniversary,
wow.
And we just wanted to remind you what you used to look like.
Yes.
And you've gotten more beautiful each year.
You're very kind, but
I look
at that and think, oh, my gosh, I was so young. Yeah, soon I'm going to be zero when I started here at WRAL because I keep trying to fool people that I'm 29, but I just can't do that anymore.
I gave you six, so that makes you 37. But,
I've absolutely
congratulations.
Loved every single second of the 31 years.
Isn't
it's
it
been
amazing?
A blast, and I've loved it. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how quickly it moved by?
Yes, that is for sure.
Yeah.
In a flash. I know that's what they say about the older you get, right?
Yeah,
the faster the time flies. And you guys have been with me here by my side for so many of those years, and I've loved
that,
too.
So happy to be here. Definitely happy. Congratulations, Deb.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe in year 32 or 33, I can get you over here at the Weather Wall and do weather, because I know you did weather at your
great.
Old station in Toledo. Yeah, love to get you over here at the BAM. So, hey, let's take a look at our storm system. We see it coming together off to the west. There are winter weather advisories in effect for the mountains. I'll get to that in a moment. And then the Arctic blast across the Plain States. Now, on our radar, off to the west and up toward West Virginia and Virginia, there's some snow falling. Now, this looks like it's precipitating here, but this is aloft. We don't expect any rain to reach our ground to the lower levels until very late tonight, maybe 2 to 3 a.m. And again, up towards southern Virginia, there could be a few wet snowflakes and ice pellets mixed in. So don't be surprised if you see that, but there should be no consequence. So there's the winter weather advisory that's in effect for the mountains over toward Asheville as well and up towards southwest Virginia. It's mixed precipitation, snow totals 2 to maybe as much as 6 inches. There could be a light glazing of ice. And they, in some locations, already saw up to a foot of snow on Monday and Tuesday. So that's going to add upon that. And what has not disappeared because it's been below freezing in a lot of locations will just be added upon it and will stay over the weekend because it stays cold. Now, for us, we see rain arriving at 2 to 3 a.m. It's about a 40% chance by 3 a.m., 4, 5, and 6 a.m., a 60% chance for rain. So if you're an early commuter, you will see some spotty light rain in the area. By 8 a.m., it's down to about a 30% chance of rain, totaling about 0.05 of an inch of rain in spots. So it's not going to be a big deal. And here in the triangle, our low 35, 36, so it does stay above freezing. So don't expect an issue on the roads. Now, the Arctic air mass blows in by Saturday morning. Here's some of the sampling of the temperatures, 25 in Raleigh by that point, 6 at Nashville, 1 below in St. Louis, 15 in Little Rock, 12 below in Des Moines. So yeah, mighty cold air that's only going to stick around for the weekend, and then it starts to warm back by Monday. Here are the forecast lows for Saturday morning, 19 in Roxboro, 22 in Raleigh, 24 in Fayetteville, 24 in Goldsboro, and then Sunday morning we wake up to about 17 here in Raleigh, 15 in Roxboro, 17 in Fayetteville. So brace yourselves for a very cold weekend. So clouds are already moving in. Rain develops late tonight, but it's going to be very light, less than 1/10 of an inch, 35 for Raleigh, 34 at Rocky Mount. Now, I know it says 32 for Roxboro and South Hill. If it hit that, it would be brief and probably even before the rain arrives. So we're not really expecting road issues up to the north. And then windy and cool tomorrow afternoon with upper 40s to the north, mid 50s in Fayetteville with about 52 here in Raleigh. Cold weekend ahead. Highs in the 30s on Saturday. Morning low 22. Could have wind chills in the upper single digits in spots Saturday morning. 17 Sunday morning, 41 the high. Monday and Tuesday are dry, but Wednesday and Thursday of next week, we expect our high temperatures to be in the 60s. So it will warm up. So enjoy the warmer weather after the cold weather this weekend, guys.
Absolutely. It'll feel good. Thanks,
yeah.
Mike.
Chris Lee is on location for sports. He joins us live from Pine Springs Prep in Holly Springs, where it is a special night. Chris.
Absolutely, Gerald. Look at this picture right here. This is a young athlete, 11 years old. His name is Caden Metz, next in sports. I'll tell you why. There's a whole gym full of people behind me here just for him. You don't want to miss this. This is next in sports. Welcome to a special 6 p.m. sportscast. I'm Chris Lee here at Pine Springs Prep here in Holly Springs, North Carolina. The reason why is because this school has banded together for one of their own and what they're calling a green out for tonight's boys and girls basketball games. His name is Caden Metz, and he's a student here at Pine Springs. He was diagnosed with leukemia right before Christmas. Caden is a huge sports fan and one of the biggest supporters of athletics here at this school. He's also a big Buffalo Bills fan, and recently the Bills sent Caden an intercept cancer care package. Now, so everybody at this school wanted to do something special for him and his family. So for tonight's basketball games, they're holding a green out where the school is selling green Team Caden t-shirts, and the proceeds goes to Caden and his family in their fight. So the school has raised over $6,000 so far and sold about 400 t-shirts, and all the proceeds goes towards medical expenses and other needs for Caden. So I'm right here with the girls' basketball coach, Cindy Henson. You are actually a friend of the family, of the Mets family, and you're one of the organizers of this. Why was this so important to show the community around Caden why they wanted to band together and help him out in his fight?
Well, I think when something happens to one of your own, you really want to find a way to help. And there can be that moment of helplessness. So a lot of us just came together and said, what can we do to really make an impact, to help the family out, to make sure that Caden knows that he is 100% supported by this community. So we came up with the idea of the Green Out and just really rallied everybody within a very short period of time to be here for our last home game. And it's been an outstanding turnout. We're so excited for what we've done to raise money. And we just love this community, and it's really a family. It's a pioneer family. So we are just really excited for, you know, how we can stand behind him and make sure that he knows we're all fighting with him.
And really quick right here, you said that he's at UNC Hospital. How's his rehab or his treatment been so far with his family?
Treatment has good days and bad days, right? But we are really so appreciative of the staff, the doctors, the nurses that are really there for him every single day. They're his extended family right now because he's been there since before Christmas. So we really appreciate everything that they're doing. And, you know, we're just ready for him to come home and get some downtime at home when he's off chemo treatments, and looking forward to that.
Caden, we're thinking about you. We'll send it back inside. You guys will have more tonight at 10 and 11.
Boy, with that kind of family around him, he's going to be great.
That's
Thanks,
right.
Chris.
NBC Nightly News is coming up next.